Well, happy Mother's Day, all you mothers. And even some fathers who do a lot of mother's work, right? We don't want to overlook that ever. Because some of you ladies know without your husbands, you'd be lost. Well, another day. I read yesterday where now the revival started in California. Then it's in West Virginia. Now it's in Ohio. It's moving. It's on the move. So at any given second, at any given day, it could be in Delaware, right? Father, I just thank you for all these people who came out this morning. I thank you for all the mothers all over the world, Father God, that are taking care of your children that you gave them to raise up in your ways. Father God, give us more grace and more wisdom and more discernment in these end time hours, how to raise our children, Father God, in this dark, dark world. And Father, we just thank you that your Holy Spirit's here, that your angels are here moving among the people, meeting each and every need. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a testimony from Sister Astrid that they had a visitation in her home from yesterday, her and Barbara. They said it was, did you want to say anything about it? But you can't preach. Just said, give me a short testimony, please.
We were in my house. It was around, when Barbara came to the house around 10 o'clock, Yuma was laying down on the couch. And I was sitting down, and Angelique, she come to Barbara, and she say, Sammy's out here. He's a big angel that is in Barbara's house. He came to my home, and the Lord started speaking through Barbara, and it was like an hour and a half. We three were gone, and the Lord started preaching about warnings that are coming, what I can remember, and started speaking through me a few things that I can remember, and it was, we were like gone in the spirit, and you felt that peace and you felt that joy. It was very beautiful. It was very unique. That's all I have to say.
So then revival hit your home.
Yes.
That's what happened. So guys, he wants to do, the revival starts in us. So he wants to visit each one of us that way. Amen. I want to hear no more testimonies of this. Not anything made up. Real testimonies. Well, just today I'm going to do something foolish, which I never do. Brother Brett had an experience last night with the toilet, so he made a poem about it. So we're going to read it, all right? He said, I thought today I would fix that slow flush, not knowing what I had in store for me. I didn't know I would be in a rush, working so late till I could barely see. What I thought would be a simple task would become a fiery trial at heart. I thought, God, do I even have to ask if it was too late to pretend I didn't start? I thought these bolts would simply come undone. I believed it was like the video I saw. Until my tools broke and I saw my joy run, I cranked and I creaked and I stripped the bolts raw. I stood back and I humped and gave a big fuss. I wrestled that toilet like the angel did man. Yet God's grace did keep me and I did not cuss. Then I dislocated my back and slumped over the can. I fought the kids' battles and helped with dinner too. I talked to the pastor and listened for God's cue. The bathroom was a shamble and looked like a zoo. And there's church tomorrow. I'll be in a stew. I hustled and bustled and put the kids to bed. I raced in a flash and I let the air out of my head. I cut the bolt, scraped my finger and bled. I nursed my finger and cried out to the Godhead. I composed myself and replaced the parts, remembering that God always finishes what he starts. The water in the toilet was now from my sweat. I laughed at the devil cause he would lose this bet. After the warfare and the toilet brawl, I put all back together and started to crawl. I was beaten and battered, not standing so tall, but I knew without God I couldn't do it at all. So now there's a flush and it's oh so fast. This trial is over. It's a thing of the past. I could hear God saying, he's done at last. We fixed that toilet and we had a blast. Wasn't that cute? I got that and I sat and laughed. I said, Larry, this is so funny. I'm quite sure Brother Brett would have read it differently, but I thought it was neat he made a poem out of his struggle. I've watched people working toilets in my house. I know what that's all about. Y'all do too, don't you? It can be a mess. This morning I'm going to speak about the beautiful breaking process of God. I am broken. I am cut deeply to the core of my being, and God did it. How many of you can say that this morning? I know I cried out to God yesterday, God, now that you've done all this, I don't even know who I am right now. Is that the truth? You know, you just all of a sudden, you're thinking of your past, you know what I don't know who I am right now. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what you want me to do after all this stripping that you've been doing, right? Genesis 32:22. And he arose that night and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed over the fork of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now this was an angel of God that Jacob was wrestling with. Verse 25, now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, that was the angel, touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go for the day breaks. This is the angel talking. But he said, Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So the angel said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. How many of you have done that? Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I should have never read that poem first. I'm going to rhyme my words now. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank. You know, we need to understand that God will go to any extreme to get us to the place that we have to be in order to fulfill our mission for him. So whatever you're going through in life, I don't care how extreme, God had to take you there so he could get you prepared to carry out the mission he has for you. We need to quit looking back and grumbling about what was and what wasn't. And we just need to keep going, all right? We can liken God's breaking process something to Jacob in his limp. Wrestling with God will bring you to a place of complete brokenness. Wrestling with God will bring you to a place of complete brokenness. But there is also a divine beauty in the breaking he brings. It changes you. So if you're not broken yet, then God still has a lot of work to do in you. And absolutely no one can understand this unless they've also experienced it. It's a lonely, painful place to be. But it also produces something of great worth, refining us as gold. We can call it a painful but precious process. Through it, we find him out. You'll find God out. And I'm not talking about the superficial things. I'm talking about deeper layers. Deeper within deeper than even deeper places. We are brought into greater depths in him because we are in his breaking process. So, you know, just quit crying and just go ahead and say, God, break me. Just break me. Just do whatever you have to do, God, but just break me and bring me to that place where I'll be the child of God that you want me to be. It doesn't matter what I'm hearing God say, well, what if I stir up some muddy waters? It doesn't really matter, does it? Because whatever he stirs up is something he wants to get rid of. Many people don't want to hear this or even entertain the thought that he works in this way, but I have found out that he does. And some of you in here have too. And he has a purpose for it, which we don't often fully understand while it's happening. You'll never understand what he's doing while it's happening. It'll be, after it's all done, they'd go, wow, is that what you were doing, Lord? Right? And while you're going through it, you're going to be grumbling and moaning, groaning, complaining. But after you go through it, you'll back, go look back and say, thank you, God, that you did that to me so I could be a better person. The truth is, it's gut-wrenching, it's maddening, and it feels like you're going to die. Amen? Actually, in a way you do, there is a death to self, a beautiful death. We die with Christ and are also raised with him. Ephesians 2:6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And quit looking for the things of the world, but look for the things that are above. But we also die more to the flesh in order to make room for the Holy Spirit to expand within us. We also die more to the flesh in order to make the room for the Holy Spirit to expand in us. As long as you hold on to your flesh, the Holy Spirit can't do too much. Real talk moment. In this place, God seems harsh, distant, and uncaring. Suddenly and rather shockingly, he is not exactly who we thought he was. This is not as awful or fatal as it sounds, but it is true. It's not fun when we're going through it, but if the Father is going to use us in a great way, we must go through his great breaking process. And through this necessary process, we come to know parts of him we never would otherwise. It can feel like a paradox. His kindness seems to take a back seat to the breaking that's underway. His kindness. But I'm the apple of your eye, Lord. You know, his kindness seems to take a back seat to the breaking that's underway. It seems severe, like he's tearing us apart. It also seems awesome because he's teaching us so much and revealing more of himself in his ways to us. It's altogether wonderful and painstaking. The key is in realizing it won't last forever. However, we will be forever changed. I know some of us, when we go through these things with God, we think it's never going to end, don't we? But it does end, doesn't it? And when it ends, we are forever changed. You can't go deep with him and not come out changed. You can't go deep with God and not come out changed. Just as Jacob left limping after his encounter with God at Peniel, he also left with a new name. He found out who he really was called to be. He found out his true identity. All right? Just as Jacob left limping after his encounter with God at Peniel, he also left with a new name. He found out who he really was called to be. So in your breaking process, you think, oh, I'm going to be this and that and the other, blah, blah, blah. We go on and on, you know. But then when God starts breaking us and we allow him to do this breaking, we really find out who we really are and what he really wants us to do. I remember reading about Kenneth Hagin years ago. He cried out to God, and God said, son, you haven't even started your ministry yet. He said, you're just now beginning. And he'd been in this ministry 30 years. Are you listening? Genesis 32:27. What is your name? The man asked. Jacob was his reply. It isn't any more, the man told him. It is Israel, one who has power with God. Because you have been strong with God, you shall prevail with men. I wouldn't give up and die if God had me betwixt and between. I would be wrestling with God too. I do. Until he brings me through this thing and makes me stronger. So it is with us. We will all have our Peniel times with the Lord. And if we keep holding on to him, if we don't let go, we will emerge forever changed. We will be empowered by God because of the struggle. The question isn't, will we struggle? The question is, will we keep holding on to God despite the struggle? Yeah, a lot of people, you know, let's just say they're bound up in something and they're, God, change me, change me, change me. And God doesn't. So they don't prevail. They quit and they go back to their sin. And really the reason you go back to that sin is because you have that weak sin nature and you'd rather sin than fight the sin and go on with God. If you're going to get free of any sin, you have to be a strong person who can fight and prevail and not come against God, but come against the enemy who's attacking you. Are you listening here? There isn't one of us in this room this morning that has not had a season where you've really had to fight to get through a sin nature of some sort. And you knew if you didn't fight, it was going to take you under, and you wouldn't be no more. I mean, wouldn't be God's child no more is what I'm saying. So you knew that you had to fight with every fiber of your being to get through this thing. It's like a frantic fight, really. I've got to do this thing or I'm going to spiritually die. Are you listening here? And if you don't fight, you are going to spiritually die. Jacob fought. And he lived. Had a new name. We need to fight and we need to live. And we need to go forth and do the great and powerful things that God's calling us to do. The question isn't, will we struggle? The question is, will we keep holding on to God despite the struggle? A lot of people say, well, okay, God, you didn't do it, so you're not there, you're not real, you don't want me to be set free, so I'm just going to go ahead and keep being in bondage. That's what some people say. I'm sorry, it didn't take you overnight to get into your sin. And sometimes God doesn't come by and go, and get it out of you either. It's a struggle sometimes. The holy breaking process is ordained by God himself and will leave us cut and empowered with his will and his purpose. And it will reveal our true identity in Christ. Let's read that again. The holy breaking process is ordained by God himself. I don't care what you're going through your breaking process. God has ordained it. He knows what you need to get your attention. He's not going to let you be just whiz right on through one of these breaking things. He's going to bring some situations into your life that you wish you was never had encountered. So the holy breaking process is ordained by God himself and will leave us cut and empowered with his will and his purposes instead of ours. And it will reveal our true identity in Christ. By that I'm saying, when God takes you through it, or when God takes me through one of these processes, here I thought I was doing exactly what God wanted me to do, but through this breaking process, I found out I really wasn't doing what he wanted me to do. I was doing what I thought I should be doing. Are you understanding this? There's a whole difference between doing what you think you should be doing and what God really wants you to do. I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care how long you've been walking with God. You're going to fall into these times where you think you're in the perfect will of God and you're doing exactly what he wants you to do, and you're really not. All right? So you don't beat yourself up. You just say, I'm really sorry, God. And you get mad at yourself because you slipped up somewhere, but you keep on going. You don't quit. You don't sit down. You keep on going. You thank God that he let you see that you weren't doing his perfect will. Just like Jacob's limp was a sign of his struggle to never let go of God, so is a proverbial cut. His cut on us is our mark from him, so to speak. It says we've been in the deep places with him. So many believers are only concerned with how trustworthy God is, but that's a two-way street. He is also looking for those he can trust as well. He's looking for those that he can trust as well. How do you find out who you can trust? It is usually in the most painful places this is revealed. You will see who you can really depend on there. Not everybody will get in the dirt with you, or for you for that matter. Not everyone can tolerate the deep places or the heat and pressure that comes with it. But those who will are the ones you will find you really can trust, and they will trust you back is a place of revealing. In other words, when you're going through your cut, you're going to know who your friends are. They're not going to say, well, have they lost their mind? Have they lost their salvation? Have they gone crazy? They'll be in there for you. They'll be encouraging you. They'll be praying for you. What I say here, not everyone will get in the dirt with you. Or for you, for that matter. Not everyone can tolerate the deep places or the heat and pressure that comes from it. You know, when you're going through one of these cuts, the enemy's really after the person, after you. And so anybody comes alongside of you to help you, to lift up your arms, the enemy's going to attack them too. That's what that's all about. And a lot of people say, I have my own problems. I don't need some of your problems too. But that's not what the body of Christ is all about. The body of Christ is all about sharing one another's load. Getting down into dirt with them. Isn't that what Jesus did? He got right down into dirt with us, didn't he? So we're supposed to be like Jesus. Why can't we do that for our fellow, for anybody? Anybody. I'm not even going to say Christians, anybody. So not only do we find him out, he finds us out too. It is a unique place of exchange that transpires through much difficulty and controlled chaos. It is a unique place of exchange that transpires through much difficulty and controlled chaos. Like a birthing process, the pain produces something beautiful. Many of you in here right now are going through this cutting process. I want to really encourage you this morning to keep on going because God is in control of this thing. God caused it to happen. God's in there with it. And God's going to see that you come through it. As you cry out to him. Now, if you're going to curse him and say, well, you don't love me. You don't care for me. You blah, 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 whatever you say. Then he's not going to be there for you. But as you keep saying, God, I know you're in this. I know you're doing this. And you hold on to his hand. He's going to be there and he's going to bring you forth. Amen. So, you know, sometimes you just have, when you're in this cutting process, you just have to go find yourself a quiet place all alone. And you just need to cry out to God and you just need to let God deal with you. You don't need a prayer partner. You don't need your household. You just need you and God. Sometimes it's just you and God working this thing out. Amen. I know that might not make much sense unless you've experienced it, you know, the process here. If that's the case, then you know what I'm saying is true. And it is one of the most difficult truths to convey because it is such a deeper revealing of how he desires to lovingly work in our lives. Are you listening here? I mean, God loves us so much, he does not want us just to sit here and just take up space. He wants us to have a deep revelation of who he truly is, and he wants us to have a deep walk with him so that whenever we minister to somebody else, we can transfer that anointing that we have of what we know about God into somebody else. In his book, The Root of the Righteous, A.W. Tozer pens this difficult truth so well. The flaming desire to be rid of every unholy thing and to put on the likeness of Christ at any cost is not often found among us. We expect to enter the everlasting kingdom of our Father and to sit down around the table with sages, saints, and martyrs. But for the most of us, it could prove at first an embarrassing experience. In other words, you're not ready to be there. Ours might be the silence of the untried soldier in the presence of the battle-hardened heroes who have fought the fight and won the victory and who have scars to prove that they were present when the battle was joined. In other words, you stayed the course. You have the battle scars to show for it. And somebody just doesn't want it. And what I said, begin with the flaming desire to be rid of every ungodly thing, unholy thing, and to put on the likeness of Christ at any cost is not often found among us. So if you haven't fought that fight to put off those unholy things, then if you go to heaven, you're going to feel very, I don't know what you're going to feel, inadequate. Then he said, thus it is necessary for God to use suffering in his holy work of preparing his saints. It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. A.W. Tozer said, thus it is necessary for God to use suffering in his holy work of preparing his saints. It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. How many of you have been going through the worst trials and tribulations of your life for the last 6 years? Could we go back further? Well, this is your year of Jubilee. This is your year where God's, is, all of his promises are yes and they are amen and are coming to pass. This is a year where God is going to make everything whole once again. And you're going to start seeing wonderful things happen. And you know, they had Mother's Day for all the mothers at my house yesterday. But a lot of things transpired and I said, God, because God told me about a month ago that Mother's Day was going, something was going to happen on Mother's Day. Well, something did happen. I thought he was going to bring revival, but something did happen in my home through me and a couple of loved ones. Total reconciliation. And so, you know, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain and everything else, but God said, love, just keep loving, just keep loving, just keep loving. And yeah, right. And so as I poured the love in, even though, you know, sometimes you don't want to pour love in. Well, I didn't really not want to pour love in. I just was upset with them because they were still doing the same things. But see how God turns things around. And you know, God just, I've been wanting to say something to a person in my house and I knew it was from God. And finally yesterday I was sitting on the porch and playing with a baby really, and God opened the door. That person sat there and listened to me from about a half hour to 45 minutes. Never said a word. And then afterwards, they came in the house. They were going down the hallway singing. You know, that was the perfect timing. That was when God could get into their heart with the truth. And now they have a new outlook. See how God works. But I was in a cut. I was in a breaking process with this whole thing. But because I stayed the course, God finished that cut. Amen. And great and wonderful things came out of it. Two ways to look at this. We can ultimately look at this in one of two ways. We'll either see God as being a cruel and uncaring taskmaster, or we'll see the love and wisdom of our Heavenly Father at work, preparing us and purifying us for his greater purposes. Hear that? We'll see the love and wisdom of our Heavenly Father at work, preparing us and purifying us for his greater purposes, and greater, deeper intimacy is always a result. You hear that? When God takes you through them trying times. I know there's times when you're going through trying times, you just don't care if you ever hear God's name ever again. But still there's some part of you that's still crying out, and you still hold on. And next thing you know, here comes God. He starts doing his wonderful things that he does. You know, starts speaking to you. And aren't you so glad you held on? God does not entrust his power to just anybody, especially novices. He is looking for people who allow him to take them through his process. People who are truly led and walked by the Spirit. People who allow him to operate outside the box in their lives. I want to stop there. You know, in 77, I was first born again. I was in a church and the evangelist, you know, God called three women up and I was one of them. And at that point, he spoke to me and said, God said, you're an evangelist. I wasn't an evangelist until in the 80s. So you see, I had to go through a process of learning them things for God to put me on the road. Are you understanding this? I didn't know what all that was about anyhow, tell you the truth. I didn't know anything when I was first born again, and probably a lot of you didn't either. So if God has called you to be something, and it isn't happening right now, there's a learning process you're going to have to go through so that whenever you go out there and do the things God's calling you to do, that the enemy doesn't take you out. So don't get discouraged because he isn't using you. He has to teach you first. He has to teach you first. This is why the breaking process is so costly. Well, let's just go back to God does not, Nancy. God does not entrust his power to just anybody, especially novices. He is looking for people who will allow him to take them through his process. People who are truly led and walked by the Spirit. People who allow him to operate outside the box in their lives. This is why the breaking process is so costly. He is looking for those he can entrust his heart and his purposes to, and that is no small thing. You listening here? I found the more he does this in my own life, the more of himself he pours into those broken open places, and the more abiding friendship I have with him there, unlike any other place. What I realize most is how very much I need it. Not my neighbor, not my husband, not the person sitting next to me, but how much I need it. And, you know, as I was, God was dealing with me about this breaking process. I told you that years ago when Larry and I first married, God had me wash his feet and become his servant. You know, when God does that, you don't complain about what the person does to you. You're the servant. I found this out. I was supposed to have lovingly, caringly, patiently, and everything else go, you know, wait upon the Lord while God was changing him. Instead of getting upset about some things that happened, I wasn't supposed to do that. Are you listening here? You know, when you're a servant, you serve. And God said, tell you, don't become a doormat though. So don't become a doormat. I just wanted you to really stop and think, what has God asked you to do? Are you doing it lovingly? Or are you doing it begrudgingly? Are you doing it lovingly or saying, God, do you really know what you're doing here? Do you really know what you called me to do? After all, God, I'm your prophet. Come on. I should be treated more fairly than I'm treated. You know, these are things that people think, and it's all the wrong thinking. After all, I got revenue in front of my name. That doesn't mean anything to God. Because God doesn't care about titles, even though he gives titles. He doesn't care about them. And we shouldn't be caring about titles either. What he's caring about is your heart. How is your heart and where is your heart at? Are you really being a servant? Or are you wanting to be served? Please don't mistake this for something it is not. God isn't being mean or on some kind of sadistic power trip. The breaking process is vital in a believer's life. Everyone of you sitting here this morning, you have to go through the breaking process. You have to. Wow. You want to know about it? You watch Christian. That old pride sticks. Wow. You know, I know more than you know, and I've only been here a week. Well, sit down. Cause you don't. You have not yet even started the breaking process. Or you wouldn't have said that. You wouldn't have got upset if somebody's mentoring you, you know, tell you, no, that's not right. Wow, who do they think they are? I hear God's voice. Well, you might hear a mixture. I'm not saying you don't hear God's voice, but there is a mixture sometimes when you're just a novice, however that word's pronounced. Amen. So, you know, don't think you know more than somebody else knows. Let God take you through the breaking process. Let him cut you. Let him get you that place of where you sell yourself out totally and completely to him. And you quit allowing the enemy to step in there and use you against God's anointed people. All right, the breaking process is vital in a believer's life. And that process looks different for each of us. I can't look at Brother Allen and say, well, you know, that's what I'm going to have to go through. That's not true. I'm not Brother Allen. I'm not Sister Nancy. I'm me. It's my personality that God has to break. It's my personality that God has to cut through so that it becomes his personality. Are you listening here? Nevertheless, through it, we learn to surrender our will to his so that we ultimately know how to walk in true obedience. Let's read that again. The breaking process is vital in a believer's life, and that process looks different for each of us. Nevertheless, through it, we learn, I hope, to surrender our will to his, so that we ultimately know how to walk in true obedience. I wasn't being obedient when God told me to become his servant. I was begrudgingly being a servant. See, that's not true obedience to God. Are you listening? Just as Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered in Hebrews 5:7-8, tells us about that. So do we. It is for different reasons, but as we truly follow after Christ and we take up our own crosses daily, not your neighbor's, our own crosses daily, we learn to walk in obedience as our Lord and Savior did. Not in an overbearing or legalistic kind of way, but in the way Jesus was yielded to the Father. As a result, we become more deeply rooted in Him. We also take on more of His nature. It's really a transformation process. Hear that? And while it is often painful, the outcome is truly beautiful and freeing. I'm going to tell you guys, the breaking process is not fun. But the result from it is. We are changed into the very image of, Jesus Christ, whenever Sister Astor was telling me about their experience, and I thought, you know, when she first came here, she couldn't have had an experience with God like that. Because her will wasn't to do the Father's will, it was to do her own will. But as she kept yielding to God and letting Him change her and rearrange her, and she listened to the people that were over her, God was able to change her and, you know, cut her and break her and bring her to the place where He could visit her. Are you understanding this? Amen? We need to understand that the Lord doesn't just cut us open and then leave us exposed. Instead, He fills those places with Himself and with His beauty. As a result, we come to know Him better, and in turn, we are better able to reflect more of who He really is. We need to understand that the Lord doesn't just cut us open, then leave us exposed. The enemy does, but God doesn't. Instead, He fills those places with Himself and with His beauty. As a result, we come to know Him better, and in turn, we are better able to reflect more of who He really is. You can't reflect who God really is until He breaks you. You really can't, because there's still too much of yourself in you. And as God breaks you, how many of us know we've gone through one breaking process after another? You know, you think, God, when am I ever going to be right? When am I ever going to be right? When He's finished breaking you. Amen. All right. He shines brighter through us, and that's always a beautiful thing. There is a clear pattern in the Bible that teaches us that brokenness precedes, goes before greatness. Before Abraham became the father of many nations, he and Sarah were childless. Before Jacob could be blessed, he was wounded by an angel in a wrestling match. Before Joseph ruled Egypt, he was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, and falsely imprisoned. Before Job's estate was doubled, he lost everything he had, including his family, his fortune, and his future. Before Moses became the great deliverer, he lost his position, his possessions, and his popularity. Before Joshua conquered the promised land, he went through the wilderness. Before Samson crushed the Philistines, he was blinded, binded, and grinded. Before David became king, he was renounced by his family, ridiculed by his foes, and rejected by his friends. Before Daniel could be used mightily, he had to spend the night in the lion's den. Before Hosea became a powerful spokesman for God, his wife betrayed him and returned to prostitution. Hello? Before Peter preached 3,000 souls into the kingdom, he denied his Savior three times and went out and wept bitterly. Before Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles, he was blinded on the Damascus Road. Are you seeing what's going on here? Before you can be that great man or woman that God has called you forth to be, He has to break you. And I don't know what it is in your life that He has to get rid of, but He'll keep breaking you until it's all gone. Until all that's left is just Jesus in you. Watchman Nee said, our spirit is released according to the degree of our brokenness. Our spirit is released according to the degree of our brokenness. The one who has accepted the most discipline is the one who can best serve. The one who has accepted the most discipline is the one who can best serve. The more one is broken, the more sensitive he is. The more one is broken, the more sensitive he is. Oswald Chambers commented, excuse me, when God gets us alone through suffering, heartbreak, temptation, disappointment, sickness, or by thwarted desires, a broken relationship, or a new friendship, when he gets us absolutely alone and we are totally speechless, unable to ask even one question, then he begins to teach us. Let's go through that one again. Oswald Chambers commented, when God gets us alone through suffering, heartbreak, temptation, disappointment, sickness, or by thwarted desires, a broken friendship or a new friendship, when he gets us absolutely alone and we are totally speechless, unable to ask even one question, then he begins to teach us. I'm to that place. I said, God, I can't even talk to you no more. I don't know what to say. How many of you have done that? I don't know what to say, God, because I don't know where I'm at. I don't know who I am. I don't know what you're doing. I'm totally speechless. So I'm just here in your presence. If you want to speak, fine. If you don't, fine. And then whenever I feel like you're not going to talk, I'll get up and I'll go. Amen. Sometimes God sees that our life is a mess and he breaks us so that he can remake us. He's done that to me. Has he done that to you? Well, if he hasn't, get ready. You're going to have, it's going to come in. Sometimes God sees our life as a mess and he breaks us so that he can remake us. Jeremiah 18:4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. It's not up to you to tell God how many times to smash you down and remake you. You don't know yourself, tell you the truth, but God knows exactly who you are. And he knows exactly how many times he has to smash you to the ground and put you back in that potter's wheel and remake you. The songwriter expressed the proper attitude we should have during the times when we are broken. Have thine own way, Lord. I don't think too many people say that. They'll say, what are you doing, fool? Don't you know you're hurting me? Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. And you do that. You don't even call God God because you're so upset with him. Mold me. I don't do that, but I know I have heard people do that. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. I think that's who's doing a brother bread over the toilet. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. The potter is able to mend the broken vessel and use it for his own purposes and pleasure. The path of brokenness begins with a birth, followed by the death, but the eventual resurrection of God's desires and intentions. The path of brokenness begins with the birth, followed by the death, but the eventual resurrection of God's desires and intentions. God has been in the breaking business all through the Bible. We just read that. In closing, let's recap. The purpose of brokenness. Number one, to bring us to spiritual maturity. And number two, to allow us to engage us in maximum ministry. Definition of brokenness. Brokenness is a condition whereby our will is brought into full submission to his will so that when he speaks, we put up no argument, make no rationalizations, offer no excuses and register no blame, but instead instantly obey the leading of the Holy Spirit as he guides us. Did you hear that? Brokenness is not just a condition. It is also a process, a very predictable, planned process from God's viewpoint. When all is said and done through the breaking process, God shines brighter through us, and that's always a beautiful thing. Mother's Day message, yes. We need to be broken. God might be using unruly children to get you to see just where your love walk is not. He might have your children in prison just to see if you'll still love him and not question why your child is sitting in there. You know, your husband or your wife might be out committing adultery. God might be allowing us just to see how you're going to react in that situation. Are you going to cry, why me, Lord? Or are you going to say, have thine own way, Father? It's all up to you what God does with you and your brokenness. You can either fight God and you know, and he'll walk away, or he'll just keep breaking until you quit fighting. I don't know which one he'll do. Or you can say, well, God, just here I am. Do whatever you have to do to me and through me, but just get it done. Because I don't like who I am anyhow. Every one of you know when you have bad things in you shouldn't have. I don't like who I am anyhow, so go ahead and break me and get it out of me. Cut me to the core, Lord, but do whatever you have to do, but I want to be just like Jesus. I don't want to be like a normal Christian. I want to be just like Jesus. I don't want to be somebody just sitting in a seat and eventually one day going to heaven. I want to be a soldier in the army of God, and I want to be on fire for you, and I want to be out there in the front line destroying the enemy at every turn. So go ahead and break me, Lord. Break me so there's nothing in me that the enemy will be able to use and cause me to stumble and fall. Amen. It's up to you this morning how you're going to go through your brokenness and how you're going to go through the cut that God is doing in your life. Maybe he's placed you in a family where things aren't going the way they should go. You know, there people are not godly and you're the only godly one there. How are you going to maintain that lifestyle with them? Oh, you know, it's up to us. We're all in a state of brokenness. I'm going to tell you right now. God is cutting us all. He's making us, he's purifying us, and he's bringing us to that place of total submission to him. I'm not going to labor this because I know it's Mother's Day, and I know many people are going out to have dinner with your family. I'm not even going to give an altar call this morning. You heard the message. You know what to do. So go ahead and let God do what he wants to do. Now, if anybody wants special ministry, the altar is open for that, all right? And you can come up. But I'm not going to bring you up here and have you lay here for an hour or two while your dinner is being burnt. We can do that tonight or Wednesday or next Sunday or something.